Hi, and welcome to the Data Engineering Podcast, hosted by Cynthia. I'm Jason Gould. I'll be looking after the discussion every week. We'll cover a host of topics like DevOps and tooling, programming languages, and strategies, and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy it. Hopefully, we'll catch you next time. Hi, and welcome to the Data Engineering Podcast. With me, as always, I have Eva.
Hello.
Hi. Today we thought, you know, we've had a guest and we've done some pretty serious topics, you know, over the past few episodes. So today we thought we'd have a little bit of, maybe not quite fun, but something that defining what a data engineer is or what data engineering is sometimes super difficult. And we hear all sorts of weird, wonderful, sometimes annoying descriptions and assumptions about what it is a data engineer does and what data engineering is. So today we're going to be looking at some of those data engineering myths. Well, I'm going to ask the questions and Eva's going to tell us true or false.
True or false. True at or least false. What I think is true or false, because there's going to be a big disclaimer right now. This is all based on my opinion and my experience working as a data engineer for the past 4 years.
So, cool. Yeah. Perfect. I mean, in my mind, you're very qualified to talk on this topic. So,
great. Let's see.
Let's see. Cool. So first one, and this was, so a lot of these came up as a result of, we asked throughout the whole company, guys, what myths do you hear about data engineering? And actually the first one was from our chief architect and one of the co-founders, Tomo, who used to obviously be a host here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he says data engineering equals data warehouse development.
Yeah. Well, I can see that one being pretty common misconception, I would say. Well, even though it is, I wouldn't say false, it is not everything that data engineer does. And this is probably going from previous iterations of data development, where it was more focused on the data warehouse and BI in general. But data engineering is much more than just data warehouse development or data modeling as such, especially since the whole data landscape has grown so much over the years with the big data and everything. So there are also new technologies involved, new concepts. So I can understand that some people find it very similar, but it's not equal.
I mean, data warehouses have been around for a long time. Yeah. Is it just that people understand what
Probably,
and therefore they go, well, you know, the next logical step is they're the same thing, sort of.
Yeah.
Cool. So data engineer is not a data warehouse developer, but it could be part of the role.
Exactly.
Cool. So that's one myth. Definitely not debunked completely. Okay, so next one we have is from Luca, one of our engineers as well, who says data engineering is data science. And I can see the look on your face already. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to go about this one, because I think that data science is not as defined even as data engineering is. But the common misconception that we see is that data scientists usually do what data engineer has to do. Like they need to solve some problem. They need to create a model. They need to get the value out of the data, but they don't have data to work on. So the first thing they need to do is actually do the data engineering part. And that's where you see a lot of mixing between those two roles. So unfortunately, especially with this, I would say it was really hyped in the last 10 years, maybe. I remember when I was still a student, a lot of my colleagues were talking about data science, doing machine learning. Like I would say 80% of my,
Class,
went in such direction, which was a bit strange to me, because I couldn't really understand what is the end result of all of that. And I like more the engineering part, which in turn they also had to do under the name data science, where in fact they were doing a lot of engineering for the data.
So I have two feelings on this one. Mm. I have feeling that, you know, for me, when I look at it, and it might be my background and how the jobs and stuff I've had in university and everything, where for me, a data scientist is less an engineer, more of a mathematician, statistician, and possibly with business knowledge, because they're trying to derive business value from a company's data. But I absolutely get your point that, and it's maybe one of the reasons you need data engineers so much, is typically a data scientist needs data to enable their job.
Exactly.
And often that data is not available. So they're the ones that go, well, in order to fulfill my job, I need to do this bit first, and I'll go and do it. The difficulty then is your company's or your organization's approach to data engineering becomes focused on specific use cases and not focused on business objects in general, which for me then means you're sort of missing out on some of the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But we could probably argue about that one for weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love this next one. Tomo again. So Tomo says, so being a data engineer, that means you don't do software development. And I can see you've been triggered by this.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I can also see why someone would think that. If we go back again, let's say, to ETL tools that you usually have boxes that you drag and drop, and you have a lot of different tools that you can use to accomplish your task. But to be honest, a lot of new tech stack, cloud environments, they all require you to do some development, some coding. So it's, you definitely cannot go without software development or software engineering. Also, I kind of think that data engineering is, let's say, a branch of software engineering. Mm. Again, that's my
Yeah, I mean, it's the one I hear most frequently, is that there's no such thing as a data engineer. It's just a software engineer focused on
data problems. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So especially now with, as I mentioned, cloud environments, where you have a lot of let's say libraries, tools that you can use, you don't have those drag and drop boxes that don't require you to do much coding. Also, I mean, we cannot go without SQL in this day and age. Yeah. It's still here. So again, it's some kind of development. So definitely that's...
I wonder if that actually goes back to the first one, data warehouse development, where the assumption is that, you know, well, you're a database administrator in some respects. I'm a data engineer. Do you really mean DBA? And it's like, no, actually, I do data pipelines and stuff. So I like a DBA, because people don't generally understand. I mean, even people in the industry, it's a tough thing to describe.
It is. And like recently I was asked by one of my university colleagues, like, what do I do? When I say, I'm a data engineer. Yeah, but what do you do? And then, but you're a data scientist. No, I'm not. It's not even easy for people in our branch to understand what this is.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that it's only more confusing for people that are not in the IT area.
Yeah, I mean, I still, you know, having done software engineer for many years and then sort of gone into, you know, organizational structures to enable projects to succeed, looking at org psychology in terms of how you produce systems. And people will still phone me up and say, my computer's not working. Can you, I'm trying to play X game and it's not working. Can you help me? Because you do computers, don't you? And I'm like,
yeah.
Haven't used a Windows computer in like a decade. So I wouldn't even know where to start.
Exactly.
Can you fix my phone? So yeah, it's much the same thing. So Tomo again. He gave us a huge long list. It was great. He's been in the industry quite a while doing the same thing, and he's probably heard it all.
Yeah.
So he has a whole bunch of... So you don't do DevOps?
DevOps? Okay. Are we going to list them all or one by one?
I'll list them all and we can talk about them all, because I think there's a whole lot of assumptions about, you know, go back to that sort of DBA or data warehouse developer thing. So he says, so you don't do DevOps, APIs, data integration, cloud development, distributed systems. And I think for me, all of those, as you mentioned before, so you know, you're a branch of software engineering. And all of those live in software engineering. And I mean, APIs, especially in data integration and cloud development, I mean, they all scream at me like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, wherever the data is, you gotta get it. Like, you have to collect it, you have to use it. And that means if you can get data out of the APIs, and that's the only way possible, of course, you're going to integrate with data APIs. So again, data integration, here we are. Like, you cannot go without the integration. That is like the crucial part of it. Cloud development, of course, we have a lot of clients, a lot of companies going to cloud environments, trying to use the advantage of cloud services. So yes, we are there. DevOps, of course, whenever we have to develop something, some piece of software, of course, you have to put some operations on top of it to actually have running pipelines, delivery pipelines, let's say. Distributed systems. In this day and age, you cannot go without them. So
no.
All of these are actually due. We have to do with a lot of different technologies, a lot of different environments, a lot of different data sources, data types. It's,
I mean, that's the thing I look at when I look at this, and you know, I look back at sort of a you know, front end stuff, and I'm not going to get into full stack developers because it's like, so you know everything. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
sure. But I look at this and I know, I look at, you know, front end development probably knows far fewer technologies than our data engineers, just because you've got so many different choices of things. You know, when you look at a sort of pipeline or whatever, you've got to get data out of a source system. Could be one of a dozen different database types or APIs or, you know, some of our systems that we try and get data from. They like to obfuscate the data and make it as difficult as possible, not naming any particular traditional ERP product. And then you've got a dozen different maybe message brokers to deal with, depending on what the client wants, because they might already have some in place. And then you're looking at runtime environments. I mean, you do all of that stuff. Just as, I mean, it's basically back-end development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing that I kind of don't like at this moment is the focus on technology, on what to use, like, and forgetting about the concepts and, let's say, the management of the data and the governance part of it, because, and not to mention security. Like, I think this is also a big topic in this area, in data engineering space, especially with the GDPR requirements and companies being more aware of the necessity of implementing those policies. I think that we are forgetting what to actually do instead of, you know, just picking the technology and implementing your pipelines and getting the value out of the data that a company actually has. Yeah. So whenever a new tool comes out on the market, being it paid version or open source, it feels like you need to be aware of it, know how to use it in order to be, I don't know, in sync with the new things happening in this data engineering space. And it is really overwhelming. People are forgetting that even some basic tools and concepts still apply and work. We don't have to reinvent everything every 2 months, let's say.
Yeah.
And it's really, really tough for us to keep up with things happening in this space.
It's something that triggers me quite a lot, actually, is this approach. And I typically find that when I'm talking to companies, and we recently did a presentation on this topic to a company, where they almost don't think about the outcome, the business value that needs to be generated. They go immediately into the, we need to select a tool to use. And when we presented to them, we said, actually, this problem you're trying to solve is not going to be solved by a tool. It's going to be solved by having the right mindset, approaching it in the right way, having the right processes and everything in place to support what it is you need to do. And more importantly, the culture of, you know, because we're talking about data as a product. Mm. And they said, oh, we need to choose a data catalog. And yeah, data catalog would probably help. Doesn't matter which one.
Mm.
But realistically, you want the culture of understanding that the producer of the data is needs to know that what he's providing is value and treat it as a product.
Exactly.
And that culture is the vital part of it, supported by a bunch of other stuff afterwards. But without that, it's still going to fail.
Yeah.
And those are the sort of things that trigger me. It's like, and I'm curious sometimes if it's like, you know, techies like to do techie stuff,
mm-hmm.
and choosing a tool is a lot easier than changing a company's culture. And I sometimes wonder if it's just like, well, I enjoy choosing the tool and that's the easy bit, so maybe we'll start there.
Yeah, get it out of the way and then and let's then, see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's get back to the topic.
Get back to this topic. So the next one is, again, Tomo saying, so as a data engineer, you do dashboards.
Yeah. Maybe some light ones if we need to demonstrate something, because again, we are working with data and at the end we need to provide data to others to consume it. But that's like, as you mentioned, we are in the background, back end. So it's not really obvious what we've done. But our core part is not doing dashboards. We are not analysts. We do not present data as such, but if we need to show you that there is some value, sure, we can do some small one, but
all of you guys into a secret here. I was in a meeting yesterday where Eva presented a bunch of dashboards she created.
Actually,
in your defense, it was all the monitoring.
Exactly. Yes, I just wanted to say that.
Throw you under a bus. It was all the monitoring. Actually, it was cost optimization monitoring as well.
Yeah.
So, and you know, that's something we absolutely should do, is look at the cost of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's really complex. He said, so next one he says is you do relational database modeling. And he then has got in brackets afterwards, which is not a wrong assumption, but it's usually given in the wrong context.
Yeah, maybe we're missing context here, but I can kind of guess it. Relational database modeling, like not from scratch, you know, we can model if we need to insert data into a relational database from different sources, then yes, we will do some modeling based on already existing models. But this is not like, you know, you're developing a new application and then you need to have a database where you're going to store data.
Yeah, I mean, that's a business analyst role, and then you normalize it all to a... And actually, that's when I look at message brokers and things these days and how fast some of this stuff runs and how easy it is to create data and how cheap it is to store it, I look at a lot of relational databases now and go, is it really actually in this day and age the best way to store data? If you were to store it all as a complete business object, might it be more useful and easier to consume?
I mean, I don't think that relational databases do not have their own.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I just wonder if, you know, we have a lot of things that are this way because constraints of cost and space and all the rest of it that we had in the, I dare say, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, yeah, 90s. Yeah. And now data's so cheap. Do we take normalization too far sometimes?
Probably. In some cases, you don't need it. But again, there are applications still available.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Cool. Right, where are we now?
Data science.
We've already covered that you do data science.
Yeah.
This is from one of our principal consultants, Chella, who's actually been on the podcast as well. And he says, data engineers are at fault when the data is not available immediately in the highest quality, and we should immediately fix it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to say this, but if your data is faulty, to be politically correct, in the source, there's like no way we are going to fix it with any type of technology without your intervention. Like, if one of your source systems produces bad data, you need to go back to the source and try to fix it. If that is not possible, then we need to work together to get it fixed, because there's no way we understand all of the business logic that is happening in the context. Sure, we can do some, let's say, rules where we can try to find some mistakes in data, let's say. But other than that, it's not going to be done out of the box.
And I think this also goes down to, so in many companies will have data teams or a data platform team and all the rest of it, who are technical people that look after a data platform. And they're not necessarily business people. They don't necessarily understand the context of the data, how it was collected and everything else. Yet they're expected to be able to fix data quality issues. So, you know, we have this data mesh concept that sort of tries to do away with that structure by having the producers of the data also be the publishers of the data, to try and make that closer to the source, where the knowledge about the data might live. But I also, on this sort of topic, I look at it and I go, two things. Some data by its very nature is not high quality. And that's not a problem, as long as the consumer of the data understands its quality metric. It can be, you know, if you're asking a customer to fill in a form by hand, sort of thing, type into this box, that is low quality data by its very nature. If they should be selecting something from a drop down and you've got them typing stuff in, then that's maybe a problem you can fix by having a drop down. But bad quality data is not always a problem, as long as you understand that it's poor quality.
And we're going back to the point you've mentioned several times now, and that is business. Like, business and knowledge is involved in all aspects of data engineering. If you want to get the high quality of data that you can serve on your platform, you need to understand it. And to understand it, you need to understand the business. And it's really connected.
I mean, I keep saying this now, and there's a few concepts around, obviously, data mesh. One of them, where, you know, we're going back to the point where, you know, you really do need to understand the business, and this being completely disconnected and centralized teams and everything, it fundamentally is not as helpful as it possibly was. Computer systems are or IT systems are capable of a lot more, have a lot more data in them. You can record a lot more. You can do all sorts of stuff that you couldn't do a couple of decades ago, where, I don't know, business analysts and everything else, and putting all that together and having, you know, if I go back to the 90s when I first started doing this, you did DevOps. And DevOps then became a thing. And it's like, well, it became a thing because in the 90s you did it because there were no distributed systems of, I'm going to run this on this big centralized service or whatever. You know, you had a project, you wrote the project, you installed the machines, you ran the machines. And I wonder if we're sort of just going in that cycle again of decentralization. Okay, so what else does he have to say? Okay, so data engineers own all of the platform data and should proactively make changes when the business requirements change without being asked, basically. Or without any specification. They should understand the business enough to make the change without being told what it is.
I don't think that's really, really possible without the intervention of the business as such. I mean, we can try to do something, but in the end, it doesn't need to be correct. And I don't think we should even...
No, I mean, follow on from the last point is, you know, tech these days is just how we do business. So why we would have separate tech and IT teams within an organization when we should have tech and IT people like any other role embedded within that business domain to help them fulfill their business needs using technology. But at the end of the day, without the business knowledge, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's another example of it. He has one here that's maybe a little bit contentious. You can hire business analysts to use ETL tools or self-service and then call them data engineers.
Yeah, but that's like another way of looking at it. I mean, if they understand the data really well and you have like a super easy ETL tool,
then
and one. Really small data set that is not complex, you don't need to worry about a lot of tech stuff, let's say, then fine, something to get you up and running, I would say, yeah, try it out. But anything that is of any bigger scale, no, it's like mixing, let's say, data science and data engineering. And here now we have business analysts as well. No, I think that business analysts, as we've mentioned already, need to work together with data engineers. And if you want to have a really good data team, you need to have different roles in it. And business analysts, along with data engineer and data scientist, they need to be here in the mix.
I mean, it's one of these things where I look at it and I say, maybe we don't call them a data engineer, but if they're fulfilling the business need as an analyst with an ETL tool that's simple enough to use, then the outcome is good, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because the outcome's the important thing, not who does it. As long as as long as it's working, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but they're not data engineers.
But they're not data engineers. Mm. But we're, as a data engineering company, we're going to be very precious about that. They're not data engineers. And then he goes on to say, and this is Cello, and he's like one of the chill people you'll meet. He's super clever. He says he doesn't get angry about other people's assumptions, but he thinks that the Syntio definition of data engineering that we have is broader than what other people might think it is, and it's not easy to describe. And we keep saying this, it's not actually that easy to describe.
No, it's not.
But it's a software engineer based, focused on data. And he then also goes on to say, to fulfill your role, you need to be as self-sufficient as you can be, because that's the way of working quickly, not reliant or be blocked by other people and processes. So you should have a little bit of knowledge about infrastructure as code, CI/CD pipelines, security, basic dashboards, data quality, and a little bit of data analysis. And that's going to help you in your role as a data engineer.
Yeah, and he's completely correct, especially if you are working in a cloud environment where you can do all of these things, infrastructure as code, CI/CD, security. It's often required of you to understand the environment that you're going to build. And when we are working with clients, sometimes we have to create the environment from scratch. Mm. And that's where we have to set up all of the ground rules by ourselves. And I totally understand his point. So if you know a lot of these things, especially he is a principal, so he has experience working in all of these areas, you become self-sufficient and you can do a lot of those things on your own.
Absolutely. So Tomo has then sort of put on here that he doesn't get angry by any of these assumptions. He gets a little confused sometimes. Be said, because people have assumptions based on some knowledge they've got from somewhere. So someone at some stage will have said something that gives an assumption. But that's probably true of absolutely any role. I mean, anybody who is happy to have their own opinion is going to have a whole bunch of assumptions, half of which are probably incorrect. I put my hand up to that. And that he actually comments on something we already said. Imagine the expectations on a full stack developer.
Yeah.
And then Cello says we're all full stack data engineers. Which, to be honest, sometimes when I hear it and look at all of the technology and the things that people are working on, and I go past labs and look at the stuff that they're researching, and I'm like, there must be hundreds of tools and technologies that, you know, we look after as an organization. And I just like, how on earth can people know all of this stuff?
They cannot. No. You need to choose. You need to choose your tools.
And then Tom, I also mentioned something that I looked at already before, which was my phone has data on it. You can fix that, right? So, I mean, this is, I mean, these are all things you, and assumptions I hear about every tech discipline, really. You know, my friends who work in tech, regardless of what it is they do, it's automatically assumed they can fix a computer. You know, my parents' MacBook doesn't work, or, you know, they can't get on the right web page and I get a phone call.
Yeah, mine so far have easy questions. Yeah, so it's fine. The other day my father asked me to help him figure out the password to his laptop that he hasn't used in a few years. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's always good fun, isn't it, when you... I take it was a Windows machine.
Yeah.
So fairly easy to get onto without a password.
Well, he actually went to reset the password and answer the questions and got in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, easy fix.
I have those things where it asks you the question of, like, what was your first cat and your favorite color and everything. And I'm like, why can't I remember this stuff? And then we have a few data engineers, somebody who uses Excel spreadsheets. I have a really strong feeling about Excel spreadsheets because I've worked at companies that you would think everything's done properly. And I'll say properly in inverted commas because there are certain companies where you expect everything to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And every company I've worked at just about effectively, if it wasn't for Excel spreadsheets, the whole company would stop.
Yeah, well, depends which department uses the Excel sheets.
All of them.
All of them. Great. Oh, amazing. Excel, I think it's really, it's cool to try out something on a smaller data set, but if you're going to collect data for different sources and everything, Excel is not your tool.
I think it gets to this point where it depends what the business goal is. If it's decision making for the business, investments and all that kind of stuff, it's probably going to happen in Excel. If it is making a recommendation to the customer, I would hope that that's, you know, a system running an algorithm, not necessarily something in an Excel.
In Excel, yeah. Well, I think if you need to, I don't know, visualize data easy and do some calculations, it can be used. But to be honest, it's not on my list of tools to use as a data engineer.
It is on the list of tools you probably use on a daily basis, though.
For personal use, yes. Not professional.
For sure. And then obviously we have the last one from Martina, one of our data engineers here, who says it's always assumed that data engineers know the context of the data. And I think we've spoken about this as well.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, we can always look at it, but without the context, I don't think we can understand much. Also, it depends on previous experience data engineers had working in a certain domain. Mm. You can draw some conclusions based on your previous experience. But if the domain is totally new to you and if a customer has some really specific solution that they've built, there's no way that you can understand what is happening.
But I think that's actually true of most stuff. There are some things that are, I mean, if you look at retail, for example, there's a bunch of KPIs, metrics, and a bunch of things that you'll do, which most people can understand, given a simple definition of it. But then there's a whole bunch of stuff that your business analyst understands.
Mm.
And I wouldn't expect even a data engineer, a data engineer that's worked in retail probably knows a lot of this stuff because they've had to deal with it. But they'll be making assumptions.
Yeah.
And hence the reason for things like the business glossaries and all that kind of stuff. When you do this is so that everybody's speaking the same language. We try and understand the business rules and everything else, because then we try and avoid the assumptions.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're going here to the data governance and everything. I mean, as data engineers, in the end, we need to understand what the end result is and to get it. But we also need someone to explain data to us. So if you have data catalogs and, as you've said, business glossary, that is a really big plus.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we've narrowed the data, what a data engineer is, down to a software engineer specializing in data.
Can be,
and
yes.
That could mean absolutely anything.
So yeah, we've done not that great job actually, but I think we will have a blog post on this coming out. I think Chela is working on our description of what we think data engineering is.
Yeah, but for me, it's one of those things that we'll write something in 6 months. The definition will change.
Change, yes, as the field is changing constantly.
Yeah.
But as we've mentioned, the concepts, they should stay the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. Cool. So sorry, guys, if we didn't answer the question of what a data engineer is, but we'll continue to try.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eva. That was quite humorous.
thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye. Bye-bye.